Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's great for me to go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury last Friday and stock up for the weekend, which I did. Hit the pickle bar last weekend. What a great choice. Also made sure I had a big bag of fresh hot roasted peanuts to bring back with me to State College. What a great selection of beer. Imports, domestics, microbrews, really laid out in such a way where it's so easy to find everything. And plus a helpful staff. Staff's great there. Really like the staff. Couldn't have been treated any better. And it's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. A painful day for Kevin Herr, who had to turn in his car.
That's right. I had to turn in the 2015 Kia Cadenza, which is, if the average commute in the Susquehanna Valley is about 30 minutes, this is not a bad way to spend 30 minutes. Leather interior, the simulated wood grain, great handling, comfortable steering wheel, having the ability to have an HD radio in your car with the Infinity sound system and have navigation as well, plus a panoramic sunroof for when the sun actually does come out this weekend. There's no reason why you shouldn't be checking out the 2015 Kia Cadenza. It is the highest quality NAPPA leather seating available. It's also the highest ranked large car in initial quality, and it has the industry leading 5-year, 60,000 mile bumper to bumper roadside assistance and 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and it is available right now at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can check it out as they rearrange the lot today for the summer season, so you can walk through it a little bit easier, because when the winter, they have to make it so it's easy to plow. Now, it is set up for you to go through and pick your car for the summer.
Talking with Jack Ham today, and I'm sure you've heard us reference from time to time Ron Moeller's name on the broadcast. Well, the Mole Man is at Augusta National today, and Jack says to me, he says, "Oh yeah," he says, "I can see him parked over on Amen Corner right now." I said, "Parked on Amen Corner?" I said, "You and I both know what's going to happen. You were going to turn the TV set on, and walking down the fairway at 14 with Tiger will be the Mole Man." That's exactly how it goes.
I don't know who this guy is that they have right now as the second feature. Oh, I see. That's Jimenez. Okay. He's got the ponytail, and it really confused me, but the reddish pants, it's really unusual for a golfer to be wearing.
Well, you won't see it on the weekend. He's not going to make the cut.
No, right, well, with the shot I just saw him hit out of the sand trap on 11, no, not going to make the cut.
Next Thursday, we'll have James Franklin on the show. All right, next Thursday, James Franklin will join us on the show. Which now brings us to Josh Moyer, ESPN.com. Josh has gone through a rough time. It is great to hear his voice again. Josh, welcome back. I hope everything's going well.
I got to tell you, it's great to be back and good to be on your show, Steve.
All right. It's you know, for those who don't know, it's been a rough ride for you. How are you doing?
Thankfully, I'm doing a lot better compared to where I was 2 months ago. Still got a little bit of ways to go left, but, you know, back covering the beat and, you know, almost feel as good as where I was before.
Great. All right, let's talk about Penn State football. There's more depth on this football team. What do you see as a couple of items, Josh, that are on your checklist that you're looking at with this football team to see it make the next step forward?
Well, I think, you know, you ask a question like that, I think everyone's head is going to go straight to the offensive line. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the issue last year, and it's really the wild card again this year. I mean, it can't get much worse than it was last year, allowing, you know, 44 sacks. I think only five teams allowed more stops in the backfield. You know, it wasn't pretty all around. But, you know, four out of five players, they have that experience now. Franklin's bringing them along slowly this offseason. So I feel like that's definitely one position to watch. The other, which James Franklin actually outlined, is middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's because of the absence of the departure of Mike Hall. But I think it's pretty much a lot that we'll see Nyheim Wortman there. Regardless, though, those are two positions that I feel are pretty important going forward.
Strengths of the football team, in your opinion, that they can build around?
You have to start with Christian Hackenberg. You know, the numbers may not have proven it last year, but he's still, you know, a top 10 NFL draft talent. And you look at him this year, I remember, you know, freshman, sophomore years, I'd use the adjective, you know, baby-faced to describe Hackenberg. Well, I won't be using that anymore. I mean, the offseason, you know, it's only been a couple months, but it's been very good to Christian Hackenberg. I mean, you can tell right away, even with the pads on, just looking at the quarterbacks who the starter is, you know, he can make every throw. He has a heck of an arm. You know, the offense goes through him. You know, outside of that, you have a lot of good young receivers, say Blacknell, Chris Godwin, who are looking to make the next step. And, you know, I wonder where that'll leave Geno Lewis in the plans, because Geno hasn't been available to the media at all. He's kind of off limits. And I just feel like with those young guys coming up, you know, they'll definitely push him for playing time. So I think those are the two units to look for in offense. And on defense, the secondary is young, and historically Penn State has had some issues there, but I mean, there's a lot of things to hang their hat on there in the defense. You know, Marcus Allen is only a sophomore, for example, and, you know, looks like he has a bright future ahead of him.
And then there's Grant Haley. There's another guy as well. What's interesting about the freshman class is that Josh, it seems like they've brought a lot of speed back into the program with that freshman class from a year ago.
Oh, I think that's something that James Franklin is definitely emphasizing. You know, one of the things he said earlier in the spring was last year guys who ran a sub 4.4, it was in the single digits. You know, now it's in the double digits or close to it. You know, so we've seen that all across the board. You mentioned Grant Haley. You know, I want to say during the winter, you know, he turned in the fast 40 time. I mean, he's a guy who's extremely explosive, has great closing speed. So, I mean, because of that just gives Bob Shute more options on defense. You know, he's able to play some man-to-man. You know, this isn't going to be the zone defense we kind of grew accustomed to a few years ago. So I'm kind of excited to where that's headed, you know, especially because I don't think Penn State fans in recent history have been treated to a great secondary, but, you know, it definitely looks like that's being built, you know, especially on that foundation of speed.
What about the running back spot at Penn State? It looks and the depth that they might now have at that spot.
Yeah, well, right now, obviously, Akeel Lynch is the number one back, but, you know, number two right now appears to be Nick Scott, and, you know, I had the pleasure of watching him when he was a recruit, and the turns he's able to make, the cuts he's able to make are incredibly impressive. So, you know, we haven't seen Nick Scott in a college game yet. We haven't seen him at the Blue-White game. We're going to see him, I imagine, in a week, and I think, you know, he's going to be really exciting to watch. Outside of him, someone that Franklin has mentioned is Mark Allen, who, you know, is a bit on the smaller side. He's not a guy who can, you know, carry the ball 20 times a game, but Penn State's not going to expect him to do that. I mean, I think, you know, you'll still see a three-headed running attack. That's what, you know, Franklin had alluded to last year, but Akeel Lynch is going to be that workhorse. He's going to see the most carries, and as Franklin said, you know, this is a running back crew now that, you know, is faster than previous years, which, again, going back to that emphasis on speed, and, you know, these are guys who are a home run threat. So, you know, you're kind of hoping you might get, you know, a few more long runs out of these guys.
The young players on this team, some of the redshirt freshmen that fans haven't had a chance to see, who'd be on your list of a few guys in that redshirt freshman category that the fans haven't had a chance to see, that you're anxious to see exactly what they might have in the tank with some live exposure in the Blue-White game?
That's a very good question. I mean, one guy that we haven't, you know, gotten to see a lot of is DeAndre Tompkins. You know, he redshirted last year. He was a bit, you know, in the same position as Geno Lewis was coming out of high school, because Tompkins, you know, mostly played positions outside of receiver. He wasn't that used to catching the ball. You know, he would be a kick returner. He would run the ball. So he needed that year to kind of get acclimated to the system. He's incredibly fast. He's a little on the small side, but I mean, I think he could be in for an electric blue-white game. So he's definitely one guy, you know, I'd like to see. You know, other redshirt freshmen, you know, I'm just trying to think of guys who, you know, took the shirt last year, and, you know, none really come, you know, straight out of my mind like they do with Tompkins. I just think, you know, he's going to be the guy to watch at the blue-white game.
Okay.
And Troy Reader. Reader at linebacker. Yeah. I need to throw him in.
Right.
I totally forgot about him, but he's a guy who, you know, could be anchoring this defense in a year or two.
There have been a lot of players that have been made available during the spring. Which ones have been interesting for you to get to know a little bit better?
Yeah. Well, there hasn't been that many available to the media. James Franklin has kind of, you know, taken the role and talked to us a lot. You know, but one guy that really sticks out is Carl Nassib.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy who's on scholarship now, and, you know, he has a great story. And you know, he's really articulate, really well-spoken, and, you know, his ability to storytell, you know, I could talk to him every day, and I'd be just fine with it. So I think fans, you know, should get to, you know him a little more. You know, maybe at the autograph session. You know, I know defensive line isn't the sexiest position, but, you know, go say hi to Carl. I think you'll be surprised.
You mentioned storytell. Just give us one that you sat back and went, yeah, this guy's pretty good. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll try not to butcher this because I'm sure I can't tell it better than Carl. But, you know, basically when he forgot to pay his tuition, basically, and he had to break it to Bill O'Brien. I don't know if I'm allowed to practice. I forgot to pay my tuition. You know, it might be a violation. And so he goes to O'Brien's office and says this, and apparently no one on Penn State told him, but Bill basically turns to him and says, you know, hey, we got you on scholarship. You don't have to pay that tuition. So, you know, I think that's kind of a cool story, how he found out he was on scholarship. He panicked. You know, I think that's got to be every walk-on's dream right there. You forget to pay your tuition, and you find out that O'Brien basically has it covered. So, you know, Nassib earned his spot, and you can tell he's a guy who really appreciates being here. And, you know, kind of, you know, right now he's living the dream, and you can kind of see that enthusiasm in him. So that's why, you know, I think he's definitely a good guy to talk to.
And that the other part, too, is that, you know, he's from a family. His brother, of course, was a high-profile quarterback that ended up being a guy that was talked a lot about 2 years ago in the draft and then ended up falling in the draft and going to the Giants. Did he talk at all about his brother's experience and what he went through at Syracuse and what he went, you know, and about the draft part of it?
No, actually, he didn't. You know, talk too much about Ryan Nassib, at least while I was there. But, I mean, obviously football is definitely something that runs in the family there. And, you know, I'm sure when Carl is going to try to make a run of the NFL next year, you know, definitely have a brother, you know, that'll back him and,
sure,
and, you know, give him all the tips and tricks you can get, you know, whether or not you're going to the combine or just participating in a pro day. So, you know, no doubt it's good to have, you know, Ryan Nassib by your side. It definitely can't hurt.
It's interesting, too. There's also some older players, Zettel, Jordan Lucas, Ange Mangiero, guys that have been through a lot here. When you've talked to the older players who have been through a lot to get to this point, what are some of the common themes that they've brought up, Josh?
Well, one thing everyone seems to hit upon is how, you know, they're trying to be a lot more versatile. And, you know, by having so many coaches, you learn a lot of different systems that it may have been a pain to go through in the beginning, but in the long run, it's just going to help them. I mean, that's something you hear Hackenberg say all the time, that, you know, he had to go through all these struggles and, you know, juggle this offensive line, but that's something that, you know, most guys don't have to deal with until, you know, maybe their third, fourth year in the NFL. You look at Eli Manning. He wasn't hit as much as Hackenberg 2 years ago, but threw 27 picks to 18 touchdowns. You know, I mean, that's an adversity he didn't have to face in college. That's something Hackenberg's already seen. So, you know, Angelo Mangiero, for instance, you know, he talked about the fact that, you know, he's been through several systems now. You know, he's making calls that he didn't have to make, you know, 2 years ago. So all these guys, you know, have gone through so many systems that, you know, they've been almost forced to become quick learners, and that's definitely something that they all think is going to help them at the next level.
Jesse,
I think that's definitely been the common thread.
Jesse James is going to go to the next level, and he'll be drafted when the draft comes up in Chicago at the end of the month. So how do you view the tight end spot now at Penn State, which certainly has been an intriguing one since Bill O'Brien came here and then went to James Franklin? And by the way, yes, John Donovan is the tight end coach.
Yeah. Well, Gesicki definitely seems to be the guy, at least in the spring, because, you know, Adam Brenneman is coming off an injury. You know, he's not 100%. I mean, tight end isn't where it was 2 years ago under O'Brien, but, you know, that's not a big surprise. One thing James Franklin demands right now is blocking. And
yes.
Someone asked me if he was afraid of, you know, the tight ends hitting, you know, this early in spring practice. This was a few weeks ago. And Franklin said, if you don't hit, we're going to pull you out. And if you're not hitting hard enough, we're going to keep making you do it until we're satisfied. So, I mean, that's the one thing he's really tried to get these tight ends, you know, trying to bulk up a little bit, improve their pass protection. That's something Brenneman said that he's, you know, he's tried to pick up on, that he's improved upon. So, you know, that we haven't seen, you know, the breakout, you know, Mackey Award winning tight end, and we probably won't under Franklin, you know, especially as the offensive line still tries to progress. But, you know, this is still a good group. You know, Kyle Carter is still there. He can be overlooked at times. You know, Gesicki, Adam Brenneman. So this is still a strong group, and it's going to be interesting to see how Franklin decides to use them during the season, especially with all these young receivers.
Josh, absolute pleasure. Great to have you back with us.
Hey, great to be back. Thanks again, Steve.
Yeah, he's gone through a tough time, but he's Josh is back and kicking again. That's great. Jordan Spieth, 14 under par, leads the Masters by 5 shots over Charlie Hoffman. They're both done for the day. Spieth shot a 66. The University of Texas one and done, just like Kevin Durant was. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Reach 100, it's time to celebrate! Sunbury Motors is having their 100th year celebration! Due to the overwhelming response to SMC's 67th annual new truck sale, it's being extended through April while supplies last. Ford Motor Company has shipped Sunbury Motors an additional 55 F-150s to meet the demand of Central PA's truck buyers. Take up to $10,000 off new F-150s. And 4x4 Supercabs start as low as $29,934. SMC has over 70 of the top-selling 2015 Ford Escapes, and they're on sale starting at $19,915. And 2015 seven-passenger four-wheel drive Explorers are reduced to under $30,000. 0% financing for up to 72 months is available on many models, and every new Ford is clearly marked with huge savings during Sunbury Motors' 100th year celebration. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Come celebrate a century of savings with SMC.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
I was at Brewer's Outlet last Friday. Best selection of imports, domestics, microbrews, snacks, soft drinks. Roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. I walked out with a bag. Pickle bar, second to none. I left with a nice container of pickles. You can do the same thing all the time at the beverage supermarket. That's Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. And my thanks, by the way, to the great staff over there. I couldn't have been treated any better every step of the way by everybody in there. And also, on the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Troy Polamalu
has ended the national nightmare and has decided to retire, much to the joy of Steeler fans like Kevin everywhere, because he's allowed the purity of the game to be just that. A Steeler all the way through his life.
Good moment.
Sure. He's happy?
Yeah.
Just, today's game's just different, Kev. It's just different. Money has changed a lot of things. You know, I mean, it's a lot for the good. And obviously, like anything, it's not going to be perfect. But it works both ways. I mean, yeah, Scott Pioli, who's the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, how'd he come up through the ranks? He was the capologist for the Patriots. You need a capologist? Yeah, you do. And that's just the way it is now. Guys don't spend their entire career at one. But you know what? You go all the way back. It's not. Babe Ruth didn't finish as a Yankee. Ty Cobb did not finish as a Detroit Tiger. I mean, that's back. We're talking about back in the 20s.
Yeah, but Babe Ruth didn't finish as a Yankee because he didn't know when to quit.
You're saying he hung on 2 years too long?
No, I'm saying, well, part of it was because he wanted to be a coach, but...
You're saying he hung on 2 years too long? Is that what you're saying? Saying maybe he was a shell of himself his last 2 years?
Don't care. He retired as a Steeler. And this is the last one that I will worry about the back of the jersey now. It was the hair.
The hair?
It was the hair.
As long as Sean Curry and you are happy, I guess we're all happy.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
A lot to get to in this half hour. 1-800-795-9565. We'll have that line open. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I was there last Friday. I picked up my fresh hot roasted peanuts. I made selections from the pickle bar. The beer selection, tremendous. I walked through and saw the best in imports, domestics, microbrews. Soft drink, snacks, one-stop shopping at the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Lauren Hill passed away today after her fight with brain cancer, just 19 years old. And she ended up raising, through her awareness, about $1.5 million. She was diagnosed with the tumor in high school as a senior in 2013. She's still enrolled at Mount St. Joseph's, which is a Division III school in Cincinnati, where she wanted to play basketball. Well, what the NCAA did, you know, in a rarity where the NCAA does something out of the gate right, the NCAA, number one, allowed the school to move up their opening game by 2 weeks so Hill could play, because her health was deteriorating, unfortunately. 17 seconds into the game, she scored. And she ended up playing four games. She helped start a nonprofit foundation that's raised $1.5 million for cancer research. Just a marvelous, marvelous individual, tremendous spirit, great fight, love for the game. But you know what? This also has shown, there's another element too, about how wonderful people are around her. They moved the game up 2 weeks so she could get in and play because they knew that her health was going down. But somebody thought to petition to do that. The conference named her first team All-Conference. She played four games. They named her first team All-Conference. And the team had their basketball banquet in her hospital room. She was not only inspirational to so many, and through the tremendous pain and obviously the of her illness, the strength and inspiration. But there was another part of it, too, about the wonderful people around her who loved her so much that they would do those things for her. Says a lot about a lot of people, and most especially her. 19, far too young, but she leaves with a legacy. Painful, though, just 19. Next, the Wooden Award went to Frank Kaminsky of Wisconsin, and as expected, and we talked about this last week, as expected, Sam Decker is decided to turn pro after his junior year. So Sam Decker is going to go pro and enter his name into the NBA draft. D'Angelo Russell has not made that announcement yet at Ohio State, but we expect him to. Of course, we talked about Troy Polamalu retiring. We'll have more on that in a moment. And at the Masters, a 36-hole record for Jordan Spieth. He shot 66 today to go with his 64, and he's at 14 under par with a five-shot lead over Charlie Hoffman. Tiger Woods went 3-under 69 today at 2-under for the tournament. Phil Mickelson right now is also at 2-under for the tournament.
Yeah, he's just about at the turn. I think he's on 9 right not, now, or just not, finishing he's up made, 9.
He parred 9. He's now on 10. He actually is on the just to the left of the 10th green. You know, it's interesting, you watch the Masters. There's one, you know, we talk about Amen Corner. Amen Corner really is from the second shot on 11, 12, tee to second shot on 13. That's Amen Corner. You know what makes Amen Corner unique in professional golf? Think about this. What makes it unique?
It's a series of holes that have their own name. I can't think of any other course that has that.
No, every course has that. Yeah, well,
no, but I mean
course,
a collection of them.
Yeah, but a lot of courses have names for their holes. Here's what's different. 12th green, 13th tee. No fans. Now, the fans are all behind the 11th green, and they're all behind you at the 12th tee. But behind the 12th green and all around the 12th green and at the 13th tee, there are no fans.
Yeah, the par 3, there's no place to put them back there because you have the bunkers and right. The hill. Man, I didn't think about that.
It's totally different. Now, they're all behind them at the tee. Behind that green, because you always have fans ringing the green, right? At 12th green and 13th tee, no fans.
The only thing that's there is the camera tower.
You have Rays Creek, the Hogan Bridge, and the green. Dogwoods and azaleas. Ben Crenshaw, by the way, making his way up there. Crenshaw shot 91 yesterday. This will be his swan song today. Two-time Masters winner.
And every time he hits the ball right now, he gets an ovation.
Sure.
Understandably. I mean, I'm just saying.
He's a great champion. Great, great champion. Loves the game. Loves the game. Historian of the game.
Poor guy's had his hat off more than he's had on today.
Well, you know what? It's great. It's great. Major League Baseball, early going. Games have shaved 8 minutes so far. 8 minutes shorter so far per game. So, So very nice, and that's how it shapes up. Penn State football, they're going to scrimmage tomorrow.
That would be a French version of it.
Yes. But they'll get out there and do it tomorrow. Look, they've had a really good spring. They've had a really productive spring. And I've said this many times. Single most important thing to me at this point is that they're a better football team today than they were 1 year ago on this day. Better. They've been better every single practice this year than they were last year at the same time. They've only had one day at practice, which I felt was a day where maybe they wasted a couple hours. Other than that, productive across the board, productive practices. Hackenberg has had a really good spring. I like McSorley. Lynch has been really good. I like Nick Scott. I like Brandon Johnson, too. Hamilton's had a great spring. Blacknall, the last week, has really improved himself. Godwin's always good. I mean, I remember last summer in August, I was talking about, you asked me which young guy. I said, hey, Godwin. I like Godwin a lot. Well, Godwin just continues to be really good. Offensive line, Brendan Mann's an improved guy in the offensive line. No question. I think Paris Palmer's going to be fine at that left tackle spot. Palmer's pretty good. Now, June's going to be very important for Paris Palmer. That's going to be a point where I think they'll be able to put some productive weight on him and maybe get him over the 300-pound mark physically. And I think he's about 290 right now. Then on the defensive side, Carl Nassib's had himself a really good spring. Nassib looks really good. Torrence Brown's been good. I know a lot of people have been focused on him. You know, same thing with Troy Reader. I mean, he's been good. A lot of people want to focus on him. Kabinda's been really good. I'll tell you the guy, very quiet. Vaughn Walker has had himself an excellent spring. Vaughn Walker has been really good. Guys you expect, like Dawson Johnson's been good. Winzettel's been out there. He's been good. Guys you expect to be, you expect Brandon Bell to be good. He is good. Garrett Sickles had a good spring. Trevor Williams has had himself a really good spring. Now, Grant Haley's always good. Easy transition for Lucas to safety. Marcus Allen's been really good. So there's a lot of guys that have had really productive springs. And the other part is that you have more depth. And that makes a difference. Wendy Laurent's the backup center, but he's played. I think Brendan Brosnan eventually is going to be a good football player on this team. I mean, Sterling Jenkins, for example, has a long way to go. He's just a freshman. He's 18 years old. He's got a long way to go. That's fine. Idealistically, realistically, maybe it doesn't match up sometimes, but idealistically, you'd love to not play a guy until maybe he's a redshirt sophomore on the offensive line. There are certain positions you can play earlier than others. Offensive line, idealistically, you'd like to see a little seasoning there because of the strength and pace of the game. And speaking of pace, that's what makes a guy like Orlando Pace so special, that as a true freshman, he was so good at that tackle spot. So, I think Joey Julius, another guy, has had a really good spring. And the toe's gone out there and done some good things. I expect Penn State to be much better in the cover game this year than we've seen in years. Because Penn State this year is going to be able to put scholarship guys on the cover teams and won't have to burn starters on the cover team. And that's going to be really important. I know for obvious reasons, and I completely appreciate what I'm about to say. I know fans love walk-ons. And who wouldn't? The dedication, the effort they put in. There's a lot of talent in this state. And it's not as if walk-ons can't make it and make an impact. Troy Drayton, for example, was a walk-on and ended up being a second-round draft choice. Vaughn Walker's a guy that's a walk-on who's had himself one heck of a spring practice. Walk-on success, though, is selective. And part of Penn State's cover problem, with all due respect to hard-working kids, has been due in part to, in order to not burn out starters and not having depth, which was regulated, obviously, by the NCAA, Penn State had to use a lot of walk-ons on their cover teams. And they paid a price for it in some areas. They paid a price for it in the return game. They paid a price for it in the cover game. I know it's something a lot of people don't want to hear. I understand that. Because they'll say, there's so much talent in this state, you know, it may be a walk-on, but look. There's some walk-ons that shouldn't be walk-ons. I do understand that. That are talented and should have a scholarship spot. I mean, mistakes happen. But those mistakes actually are pretty few and far between. And there is a difference between scholarship players that you can put on teams like that, like a Daquan Worley as an example. Worley's had himself a nice spring. That you want to get him on cover teams and things like that. In other words, last year, Penn State cover team. Who was the best cover guy in the punts last year as a gunner? Grant Haley. Who's another guy that emerged late in the year and became really good for Penn State on kick cover, punt cover? Troy Apke. And that is going to be a major difference. Penn State can load up now their punt return, punt cover, kick return, and kick cover teams now with scholarship guys as opposed to the run-on program, and it is going to make a difference. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Once again, another enlightening break where I got to listen to the ramblings of a madman who's upset about the opening day of trout season.
Who are you talking to then?
Who do you think?
I don't know. It must be somebody in the Sunbury Motor Studio with you.
No. There's really nobody. There's only one person that has complained to me about the opening day of trout season.
No, you're just not hanging around the right people then. No, I wasn't complaining about it. I do have one question, though, that I'd love to find out from the Fish Commission. They're doing a mentor day, which is tomorrow. And I guess the youth license for under 16 is optional, but that money goes to, obviously, the Fish Commission, which would be a nice idea. It's only a couple of bucks. But as I understand it, the mentor program, the adult gets to fish as well and keep two, and the child gets to keep two. Now, when the...
And you said the money goes to the human fund?
Now, my question is this. Why, if the adult can fish all year long, why does the adult have a rod with him? That's not mentoring. That's called fishing for yourself and letting your poor kid probably fend for himself while you get your two fish. It should be like the game commission has it right. You go out, you have one rifle or shotgun between the two of you. And you're there as just a guide. That's the way it should be for fishing. Maybe I misunderstood it.
NFL preseason schedule's been released.
Whoa.
I had to turn it back into sports somehow.
That's sports. I'm sorry, but that's sports.
Really? You exhausted after casting?
Listen, if you've crawled around some of the creeks and hills that I've hunted and fished, you'd understand.
Hey, by the way,
yes.
DirecTV told they're not running Rob Lowe anymore.
I heard about that.
The cable guys complained. Commercials were clever. And people think too much. Nobody would accuse you of that. You
Rob Lowe got his paper. What's he worried about?
Hey, have I ever accused you of thinking too much?
No.
All the time.
My dad used to tell me all the time, don't think, it only hurts the ball club.
I don't know how many times have I told you, I think you think too much. And it drives you nuts. And I'm like, yeah, it's fine. That's why I told Kevin today I had an appointment, so they'd take my blood pressure. You were interested in the numbers.
They had to do it three times to see that there was one. I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, you're not registering on our blood pressure meter. We're going to have to do this the old-fashioned way. Nope, there's no registering there either.
It was 102 over 64. I told Jack that.
I'm happy it's that when I'm asleep.
Jack is like, I always tell everybody your heart rate's 45. Like, yeah, well. Yeah. He's coming back from, he had some work done on his knee. He says, you know, you're going to have to be my eyes as to what's going on here at practice. I said, so in other words, when somebody says to you, I don't understand why you made those comments in the blue-white game, you're going to say, Steve Jones told me.
It was all Jones' fault.
He was my eyes during practice. I don't know what he was talking about. I don't know what he saw.
He is doing the game with you, though, next Saturday?
Yeah, he'll do the game.
That's good.
In fact, he might come up here. He was thinking about coming up here tomorrow, but the scrimmage is early tomorrow. So he might try and get here on Monday. He's got some rehab to do. Some on his knee. No.
Oh, boy.
Oh, come on. Have some fun, everybody. Jeez.